Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini.
Courage and faith are needed always, especially as we continue to deal with COVID-19. On today's podcast, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber preaches a sermon designed for Mother's Day weekend 2020. It's a timely message not only for moms, but also for everyone else. Based on Hebrews 11, 23 through 28, let's listen in to the courage of a mother and others.
Well, this is Mother's Day weekend 2020, and my mom is 85 years old. I'm so thankful for her. She's healthy. She's still here with us and loving her family, loving her church and her neighbors. Happy Mother's Day to her and all mothers out there. And today we're going to look into God's Word from Hebrews chapter 11 in this sermon titled Courageous Mothers and Others. So it's a sermon, hopefully, definitely for mothers, but it's also for people who aren't mothers and people for whom Mother's Day is not an easy day. Some it's a great day, some it's a hard day. So It's hopefully is a sermon for everyone. Let's just pray for a minute and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, this is your word that you've given us, and we ask you to open our hearts, our minds, to not only hear it, but to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I put this word on the screen, what do you think about? Courage. What do you think about? Well, let me give you some pictures. One of the things that I think about is all of the frontline healthcare workers right now in our country that are just doing a tremendous job. They're sacrificing, they're working, they're serving, and we appreciate them so much. And so many of them are exhibiting great courage to put themselves at risk in order to help others. We have several in our own body here that are part of the healthcare industry, and we're just thankful for them. They truly are an example to us of courage. How about this one? This was Pat Tillman. Tillman was a former all-pro football player for the Arizona Cardinals, but after the attacks of 9/11, he gave up his pro football career and enlisted in the Army in June of 2002 and became an Army Ranger. He gave up riches and not much risk. I mean, there's in football, there's a risk of injury, I guess, but he put himself really at risk. And in fact, unfortunately, indeed, in the mountains of Afghanistan, was killed in service. Here's one. This is a picture of Harriet Tubman. She was born into slavery on a Maryland plantation in 1822. When she was about 26 years old, she learned that she might be sold away from her family, so she escaped up north to Pennsylvania. And not only did she escape herself, rather than just staying in safety, she courageously spent the next 8 to 10 years helping other slaves gain their own freedom. She led hundreds of slaves to freedom along the Underground Railroad. And this runaway slave and deliverer became known as the Moses of her people, which is a segue into our passage today that talks about some people who had great faith in God and great courage, the parents of Moses and Moses himself. So let's turn our attention on this Mother's Day weekend to Hebrews 11, 23 to 28. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Well, let's talk about the context of this passage. Hebrews 11 starts out by defining faith. And then it gives many, many examples of those who lived by faith. And now the author includes him, Moses himself and Moses' parents. He starts in Hebrews 11:1 and says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then again, many, many examples of faith in the chapter. And it comes to our passage for today, Hebrews 11:23-28. And as we look at faith and what faith does, I would ask you, what is the result of faith? Well, God's word for us today is going to tell us that faith gives us courage to obey God. Now, here in Hebrews 11, we learn that both of Moses' parents had part in one of the most risky schemes you could ever imagine. We learn their names from Numbers 26:59. Moses' father was Amram, and his mother was Jochebed. Exodus 2 tells us about their courageous act of faith. Now, at that time, their nation, Israel, had been in Egypt for almost 400 years. Originally, they thrived. But as they grew, the current Pharaoh viewed them as a threat and forced them into slavery. As they prospered and increased in numbers, this evil Pharaoh devised an evil scheme. He instructed the Hebrew midwives to allow baby girls that were born to live, but to murder any infant boys. How terrible. Well, you know, this didn't work out for him because the midwives feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. They knew that it was wrong to take an innocent life, so he came up with another plan. He ordered his own people, the Egyptians, to find Hebrew boys and throw them in the Nile River to drown. Now, in that frightening context, comes the woman named Jochebed. She already had two children, Aaron and Miriam, and she became pregnant again. And I want us to look back at Exodus 2, because that is the background to what we read about in Hebrews 11. So in Exodus 2, it says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Being a parent today is very challenging. Now, in our society, you don't typically face the same imminent danger that Moses' mother faced. Someone wanted to kill her child, and you don't face that kind of danger typically. But there are all kind of threats against our children. Right now, during this COVID-19, obviously, there are some physical threats. Parents are worried about their children, and will they pick it up, and how will it affect their education, and how will it affect them mentally, and emotionally, and all of that. But beyond these physical threats, there are so many spiritual threats that are out there for our children today. There's violence and promiscuity that just pour out of the media. The very concept of truth and the notion that there is a holy God who has a standard for our lives that is a good standard is ridiculed or dismissed. And our competitive culture often rewards performance over character, just to name a few. So here's Jochebed, living in a threatening world. Again, hers was a physical threat. And she refuses to cave in. She refuses to give up. She is courageous, and she has faith. She believes her child is from God and that God has a purpose for him and that she must do something about that. She must support it and work to make it happen. So she and her husband hid their baby from Pharaoh and his people. Parents, have you ever tried to hide an infant? Not an easy task. They cry. They wiggle. They squirm. They cry. But Jochebed did it, and when he was 3 months old, she knew that something else had to be done. So she made a small wicker basket, covered it with tar and pitch, and so it would float, and then placed it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Now, that may seem like a crazy thing to do, but it maybe wasn't crazy as it sounds, because she knew that was a place where women would congregate, and she had at least some hope that a woman would come along and see this and find the baby and have compassion on it. And if she didn't do it, she felt like she had no hope. So watch what happens in verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Now, Jochebed didn't just send Moses floating down the river. She placed him in the reeds, and she stationed his sister Miriam ready to watch. Now, that was a better plan than if she herself had stayed around, because then it would have been really obvious. But look what happens now in verse 7. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And that's what that Hebrew name means. Now think about it. Moses' own mother, rather than losing her son to death, now gets to nurse him and become his legal guardian as well. That was typically what happened. Wealthy women in that day would pay another woman to nurse and to become the legal guardian in the early years. And, you know, God, it's interesting. God is not mentioned anywhere in this passage, but his fingerprints are all over it. He is at work behind the scenes. That's Exodus 2. That's what happened with Moses and his parents. And Hebrews picks up on Moses' life as it names all of these great heroes of faith. It picks up on this story and all of Moses' life, and it names faith and courage. What I want to do is, from this, I want to draw one courageous action for mothers today, and then some courageous decisions for all of us, whether mother or not. So what is this courageous action that we can draw from this passage? And it is this: do the right best thing for your child regardless. Verse 23, again, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. That was a courageous act. That was the best thing for Moses. It wasn't an easy thing. It was a threatening thing, but it was the best thing for him. If you're a mother today, I would like to honor you for the sacrifices you make. Mothers make great sacrifices to bear children and then to nurture and raise them. And I'd like to think about a couple of practical expressions that arise from this passage. The passage doesn't mention them explicitly, and so this isn't the meaning of the passage, but this is definitely a valid biblical application of this text, because as we watch Jochebed doing something for her child that was costly and risky and required courage and faith, what might that look like today, we should ask. So some mothers train their children in the ways of the Lord, even if their friends and family don't understand it. That's the courage of faith. Some mothers stand up to a teenage son or daughter and say no, when it seems like all the other parents are saying yes. That's the courage of faith. Some mothers choose to give up or to put on hold or to creatively reduce the hours or work creatively in their career to be at home with their child, to have more face-to-face love and training time when other people think that doesn't make sense. Now, note, I'm not implying or stating that mothers should not have jobs and work outside the home. I'm just giving an example of something that some might do that would take courage and it would be honorable. It might encourage you, a courageous action might encourage you to try homeschooling, or it might lead you to sacrifice financially for Christian school, or it might encourage you to get involved with your child in the public school. Whatever your schooling choice is, it might encourage you to be risky and courageous, but in all situations, it moves us to faith and action and intentionally doing the very best you can do for your child. Now, secondly, this story reminds us that people in general, and parents specifically, and even more specifically, mothers, can have rewarding, joyful lives even when their circumstances are not ideal. Jochebed's circumstances were far from ideal. Motherhood is not a bed of roses. There was a survey from the UK that involved 1,000 mothers, and it found that moms may be the most quizzed people on the planet. On average, from breakfast to the afternoon tea time, remember this survey came out in the UK, the average stay-at-home mom faces one question every 2 minutes and 36 seconds. And that adds up to over 100,000 questions per year. And those questions spike during meal times. And they surveyed which gender and which age children asked the most questions. And it turns out girls that were age 4 ask 390 questions per day. So according to this survey, the moms claim that these were the top 5 toughest questions that they were given. 1, why is water wet? 2, where does the sky end? 3, what are shadows made of? 4, why is the sky blue? And 5, how do fish breathe underwater? Jill Eggleton Brett, in an article in Christian Parenting Today titled, Help, I'm Surrounded by Preschoolers, pointed out the difference between fantasy and reality, and I've slightly edited it to update it. The fantasy is, as your little ones sit quietly at the kitchen table and hum along with Beethoven, they absorb their age-appropriate books for learning. And meanwhile, you create the map of the United States using homemade sugar cookies. Ah, you think to yourself, this is what life is all about. But the reality is they're fighting and arguing as if you put them by their color books, they're screaming, mine, mine, mine. And then you smell something burning and you rush to the kitchen to find that the slice and bake cookies are burning. Fed up, you stand at the counter and you remember the days when you actually thought you'd spend your life doing something worthwhile, like being a brain surgeon by day and a lawyer for the poor by night. And she concludes, motherhood is a thankless job. And it certainly can be. It can be hard and it can be challenging. Moses' mother, Jochebed, is praised here in Hebrews 11 in this hall of faith, but her situation was far from perfect. She found herself in a gut-wrenching situation where the most likely thing to happen for her baby son was death. And the plan she devised included giving him up. That was tough. That was far from ideal. But God was with her. God blessed her. God honored her. And God made a great man of her son. Now, on Mother's Day, we think about celebrating your mother or your motherhood, but this day of celebration is difficult for some. Are there women listening today who've not been able to give birth and you struggle with that? Are there people listening who didn't or don't have a great relationship with your mom? Has your child or have your children struggled or disappointed you? Stephen Arterburn wrote an article in which he considered some of the models of motherhood that were in the Bible. He mentioned, among others, Eve had two children and one murdered the other one. Rachel died in childbirth. Hannah was barren for years and was mocked by her rival. Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw her son do many great things and teach with passion and wisdom, and yet witnessed him publicly being crucified. And then Arterburn said, if you're challenged with being a mom or with your mom, you're in good company. Not that it makes it right or necessarily makes you feel that much better, but I hope it's an encouragement to you that God will use your situation, whether you're happy or sad this Mother's Day, and extend his grace and work through your life in ways you would never have imagined. And I think Jochebed's life is a shining example here, and I pray that it will encourage you, all of you, regardless of your particular situation, whether you're happy or sad, it's okay to grieve. I just want to encourage you not to do it alone. Share it with a friend, a spouse, a pastor, a counselor, or a small group. One of the great ways moms invest in their children is praying for them. There's nothing like a mother's prayer. You know, there's a quiet ministry around here at Harvest that I want to just mention. It makes a huge impact. It's called Moms in Prayers, and they meet together. Moms and grandmothers meet to pray for their children and grandchildren. And if you want more information about that, you can contact those who headed up, Carolyn Harrell and Brenda Murphy. Well, here's what God is teaching us today in his word. Faith gives us courage to obey God, even in the face of threats. Faith gives us courage to obey God, even in the face of threats. So we've talked about that courageous action from others. Well, what about everybody else? Let's think about quickly some decisions that mothers can make and all of us can make based on how the passage continues. First, embrace eternal values rather than temporal pleasures. That's in verses 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses could not identify himself with both the Egyptians and the Israelites. It was one or the other. And today the same is true for God's people. You cannot identify yourself with the world system and with God. Some people may try, but they're really only deceiving themselves. Second courageous decision that I want to encourage you with today is not only live for eternity and seek true treasure like Moses did, but persevere in the mission that God gives you. Verse 27, look what Moses did. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. The king was visible, but God was invisible. And Moses respected God more than Pharaoh. To the readers of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, where this is found, that were tempted to give up on their confession of faith because there was definitely a stigma attached to the name of Christ, this example of Moses would encourage them too to persevere, as it should also encourage us. And then finally, number three, obey God's command, even if you don't see the end result. Verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. This is definitely a reference to Exodus 11, and putting blood on the doorpost was definitely an act of faith because the event that it pictured had not even happened yet. Moses obeyed God even without seeing the end result. What about you and me? Well, we see faith all over Hebrews 11. What about today? I want to start wrapping this up by giving us two important types of faith for today. First of all, there's faith in Christ for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 read, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Today, if you're just a good person, but not a true believer in Jesus Christ, He is offering you a great gift, a great gift, and that's the gift of salvation. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be made right with God, if not if you become a better person, not if you become religious or give up all everything, but if you will repent of your sin and put your faith in Him. That's what repentance does. It leads us to faith. We turn away from our sin and we turn to God and trust Him. It is, you have been saved by grace. We don't deserve it. It's through faith. That's the first kind. I encourage you for that. And secondly, there is faith in God for living. Faith touches all of our life. Again, I'll put up the whole passage here that we read and just notice what it says over and over. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. Verse 23, 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt. And verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover. It's the Christian life is all by faith. And God tells us that faith gives us courage to obey God, even in the face of threats. You know, this is really important today. I put Harriet Tubman up at the beginning. And we talked about how she rescued slaves. Well, she herself was a slave. She herself had a rough childhood. She was beaten. And she ran away a few times. And her mother stood up to some of these people that were doing evil. And in fact, there was one time when one of her brothers was going to be sold into slavery. And her mother threatened the people who were going to do it. And I think that seeing her own mother's faith and courage to stand up against evil led her to say, I can stand up against evil as well. And her mother was a woman of faith. She read her Harriet Bible stories, and that developed in her a deep and abiding faith in God. The influence of a mother is great. So mothers, be encouraged. Your influence is great. And I encourage you today, whatever your situation is, to trust God. And if it seems threatening or hard to handle, to let go of your attempt to control it and just surrender yourself to God. Because God cares for us and He's powerful enough to handle it. Now let me close with this. Faith means believing the gospel. First to be saved, but it's also critical for us as believers, Christians, to believe the gospel. Because we need the gospel every day also. Many of us struggle with performance. We think, am I doing well enough? Am I doing enough? Does God think I'm a failure? And mothers, I think, can really fall prey to this problem because they don't typically get applauded. They don't change the diaper and the child says, oh, Mom, you did a great job with that. Thank you for what you're doing. And they work and they serve often behind the scenes and with great demands on them, and they aren't being applauded. And then there's the comparison trap, you know, social media. You look at somebody else, and it just looks like, oh, they've got the perfect family, right? One pastor says a lot of moms get lost in the dailiness, and they believe the gospel for everybody else. They even tell it to their children, but they don't believe it for themselves on a daily basis. On a daily basis, they get a performance mentality. They see their flaws. They wonder if they're messing their kids up. They wonder what's going on. Now, if that's you, Mom, I want you to really soak in this last verse that I'm going to put on the screen. And not just moms, but any Christian, any follower of Jesus that is struggling with performance and with believing the gospel every day, that God cares about you, that God is with you, that God is going to strengthen you, that God is going to help you, that God is there with you. It's for any believer. And again, it's Mother's Day weekend, especially for moms. My heart goes out to you. But listen to what God said to His people in the Old Testament through the prophet of Zephaniah. And, you know, this is not just a thing for moms. I remember a men's retreat at Harvest a couple years ago when a guy stood up and quoted this verse and said it basically how much transformation it had brought to him to realize how God really, really felt about him. So here's the great verse that I want to close with. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God rejoices over his people with singing. If you're one of his own, he's rejoicing over you today. He is with you. He is good. Praise his holy name.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.